Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 101 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello. I am physically present for this podcast.
All right. We're starting to count fresh. We hit 100. Now we're back to one.
I would like to thank everyone who, in the span of last week's episode and this week's episode, took to iTunes and left a whole bunch of new reviews. And so thank you for those. Maybe we'll read some of those towards the end of the show, but definitely appreciate it. If you're new to the show, well, go ahead, Christian.
No, I was. Now I'm looking.
No, yeah, they're all good. Anyway, if you're new to the show, we talk all about Pokemon stuff, Pokemon games, the anime, the world of Pocket Monsters is all discussed here in about an hour-ish time frame. We do this every week, live, Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. across the pond on Twitch. Twitch.tv/comicbook is where you can join in on the chat. We got a lot of faithful, I got a faithful crew in there, keeps the chat nice and lively. Otherwise, you can find this show wherever podcasts can be found. We have a nice show for everyone today. A lot of Pokemon Go news.
Yeah. Well, every week we have lots of Pokemon Go news.
Yeah, but this week feels like more.
It's like more substantial.
Exactly. It's substantive.
Fair.
Pokemon Go news.
Fair.
Did everyone catch their shiny Snivy?
Yes. Yes, I did. I caught two of them. I forgot that the event was going on until 4 p.m. And so for like 45 minutes, I chucked in an incense and then I was like, where's the damn Snivy at? Come on, shiny Snivy. Come on. Get in my phone. Get in my phone.
I caught three because that day of the event, I happened to be waiting with my mom at a place because her windshield was like blown out by a pothole on the interstate. And she didn't want to wait inside the place for COVID reasons. So we're both vaccinated. So she was hanging out in the car with me. And the entire time she's like, why don't you ever talk to me? Why don't you talk to me anymore? And I'm just sitting there furiously like playing Pokemon. And I was like, I will talk to you for the hour ride home. But right now I only got a limited window to catch this. So I'm a great daughter.
Love it. It's actually a nice looking shiny. When is all said and done. So I appreciated that. I only caught one.
Congratulations, Jim. Thank you. First shiny.
Oh, stop. No. I feel like I caught way more Snivy than my Snivy to shiny ratio was definitely on the lower end there, but that's fine. I got one. That's all that matters. I do want to thank, I believe it's Rankin 2700 in the chat, invited me last week to a Azumarill raid. And so I was able to complete that because that was the last one I needed because I did find my Chansey with the Flower Crown and all that. So thank you, Rankin. Really do appreciate that. All right. When's the next community day? Is that
May?
May. Do we know what that one is yet?
No, they haven't announced it. They'll probably announce it this week. So it'll likely be a non-starter Pokemon. Hopefully it's something that's not junk. Well, wow. You know, like the thing is they've really laid off. It used to be that, you know, you could get like, you know, a lot of the pseudo legendaries were included, yeah, and a lot of like the two tier evolutions that can be a bit of a pain in the butt to go and get, you know, the mm-hmm. candies for. And mm-hmm. they haven't done one of those in forever. So, you know, like I'd like to see like a Dino community day or a Gible community day, you know, mm-hmm. Those would be, you know, those would be swell instead of, I don't know. Like I can't even think of what BS Pokemon we will end up getting stuck with instead. Like, oh, let's do a Pidgey community day.
Holy moly, Night Fighters, 900,000 dust.
Well, it was triple stardust. So
I know. I mean, I know it was triple stardust, but good God, that's a lot of stardust.
Yeah, no, that's a haul. When you chuck that in with a whatchamacallit, star piece, and you can yeah. you can make yourself a stew with that.
Nice. All right, that would be an interesting stew. Gotta say,
Rival Week starts this week.
Yes, so Rivals Week is the next event. I'm pulling it up now, the information. So it starts tomorrow, April 13th, and runs through the Sunday. The big thing is this will be the debut of Skrelp and Clauncher into Pokemon Go. Also Therian form Landorus will be making its Pokemon Go debut. So we're getting a global challenge arena. I don't know what that is, but you know, we're getting some sort of new global challenge. It could mean that, you know, this global challenge will involve like PvP battles, like in Go Battle League or something like that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is Pokemon who are known for their rivalries, will be making their appearance more often in the wild. That includes Zangoose and Zviper. Elekid and Magby will be hatching from raids. Also getting Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee. Not really rivalry okay. Pokemon, but they're paired Pokemon. Also, they're doing Nidoqueen and Nidoking, and that starts to get me to think that they don't know what the word rivalry means.
Okay. Look, I love Magmar and Electabuzz, but good God, I am okay if they just lay off Magby and Elekid in eggs and raids and all that stuff, because we've had plenty.
Yes,
this is from someone who does not play a lot. We've had plenty.
Well, you know, it does seem like, you know, if in Jim's eyes, you know, there's been Magmar and Electabuzz events, it seems like, probably once a year or going back to, like, 2017. So, you know, like, that's basically daily in Jim's eyes.
Exactly.
No, it's... the good news is they're only going to be in eggs. I don't think Electabuzz and Magmar will be popping up in the wild. I'm not super impressed with what they've got, you know, popping up in the wild. That's kind of a meh week outside of the fact that we're getting some new Pokemon, and, you know, Therian form Landorus obviously is a cool Pokemon to get your hands on. But you know, the churn continues. Pokemon Go is going to Pokemon Go is going to Pokemon Go.
Mm. All correct statements.
what is AR fast catching?
So it's a trick that you use to do like basically shoot out a Pokeball within like a second of like appearing. So I'm not 100% sure of the nuances behind it because it's
so Night Fighters mentioned it in the chat and I'm like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, no, you basically there is a way of, you know, using the AR toggle shooting out a Pokeball, and it kind of skips a lot of the animations and stuff. I think if you throw the Pokeball and then you switch it over to the AR, I think that's entails, but I'll be honest, I'm not 100%.
I'm gonna have to check that out. All right, well, we got a new data mine. Possible new features coming, and my favorite, costumed Pokemon.
Yes, and this one actually, I'm okay with this costumed Pokemon because it is a Pokemon that has never gotten a costume before. So we are getting Lapras with a bow tie.
How did I miss this news?
Yeah,
gentleman Lapras.
This is the most important news of the week.
Yeah. So now. We don't quite know what the Lapras is like connected to, like, you know, what like event or what it is. But the Lapras itself has ties to a 2018 Japanese Pokemon Center merchandise line. Okay. Not one of their, like, you know, like kind of obscure, like, but it's like basically Pikachu and Lapras running around. Lapras is wearing a bow tie. Pikachu's got like a messenger bag, and they're visiting friends. And that was like the entire shtick of the story. Yeah, so, you know, Lapras is getting a date, is, you know, supposedly getting a costume, maybe for Friendship Day. I don't know.
That would make sense.
The other big thing is that there's a kind of an interesting new feature that popped up. And that is, you know, we might be seeing Pokestops getting powered up soon.
Oh yeah, I saw about that. What's the what's the deal there?
We have no idea. We know here's what we know. We know that it appears that the Pokestops can be leveled up to level 4. So right now you start off at level 1 and you can level it up to 3 times to get it to level 4. We don't know what that entails, whether that means it's more items, if it's just you, the more you spin better a Pokestop, items, the more it powers up, or if there's some other thing. We don't know if it will be tied to, you know, if you get better items, if the distance increases, because everyone's kind of expecting that Pokemon Go is going to drop the pretense of, you know, that they care about us in the pandemic sometime soon. They've already kind of started it, you know.
Well, they did they drop the egg distance?
Yeah, the egg distances are full distance, and they're rolling out more and more things that involve, you know, going to places, seeing other people, stuff like that. So yeah, so it's something kind of mysterious and out of the blue. It does seem that the Pokestop routes will be making a an appearance here soon. They seem to be working towards that more. I would not be surprised if that gets rolled out as part of the, like, next season switchover. So, you know, that is my personal prediction. That seems to be a good thing that they could roll out to kind of tie into these seasons that they're continuing to try to do. So, yeah. Yes, Rankin did point out that they said they'd give us a 2-month notice before they get rid of the pandemic features. I'm kind of waiting for a lot of it. You know, they've kind of slowly rolled back some of their stuff, and it just seems like we'll be getting it here soon. Yep. So
interesting conversation popping up in the chat. Calm Down says Lapras was my first over 1,000 CP Pokemon, so it always holds a special place in my heart. Which brings me to ask you two: do you remember your first over 1,000 CP Pokemon in Pokemon Go?
Mine was
Scyther, and I still have it, and I love him.
I mean, I want to say it was like Tauros or something.
I mean, but it's a terrible 1-star Scyther, but it was my first like 1 over 1,000, and I thought, oh my god, I'm gonna like wreck so many people with this, and I did not.
Yeah, I think mine was probably Tauros, and I was like, oh, that's dumb. I don't care about that.
So there are a lot of Tauros.
They're so many around where I live. It's just truly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I honestly cannot recall what my first CP 1000 was. I have a lot of them, so.
Humble brag, but also makes sense. You've been playing since day one.
Day one player, have played it almost every day.
I still remember the first Pokemon I encountered in Pokemon Go. And it was a Venonat. Wow. I remember walking outside of a very small office. Megan remembers the very small office we used to have.
Yeah, that first time I ever played Pokemon Go was in that office.
yep. I walked outside. I fired it up because this was the unofficial release of it, right? Like it was live overseas or whatever, and
like
so you
in
had
Australia
to, like,
or something.
Yeah, so you had to like game it a little bit just to be able to download it. And so I remember doing that, stepped outside into the courtyard and boom, Venonat. First one. That one I did not keep.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think. Well, obviously I still have my starter Pokemon because it's a Bulbasaur. But outside of that, I can't even remember. I'm seeing if I can go and do it really quick.
I think mine was like a Pidgey or something. No, all I remember about that, like that like week where we like gamed the system and like we were all playing was I just like so clearly remember, if you listen to our other comic book podcast, Phase Zero, Brandon Davis like saw Pokemon out in the courtyard and he like dropped everything he was doing, he ran out of the office, and we were like, is he okay? And he was like, I can't remember, I want to say it was like a Gengar or something, but I know that's not it, but he was gone. And we were like,
so into it.
Yeah, we were all of us. All of us were all in on it.
Because
there was like a horde of us going around our office building.
He would send me messages via whatever our chat was at the time, asking me all these like questions about Pokemon Go. Oh, and I was just like, you know, and so like I was just.
We were super into it. I mean, that was the thing. No. Like, look, well, the thing where we did we could do stories on how to get more Pokeballs, and like it would just drive so much traffic.
The number one article on our website for 2016: how to get more Pokeballs.
I just remember, like, look, it was a legit craze. Like, I have never seen more people outside during that time. And it was just it was nuts. All right, but anyway, there's a regional event coming our way.
It already started.
It started, great.
It's not coming our way. It's you know, like a few countries in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea. So it's like Lebanon, Turkey, and there's one other country.
Oh, so like, incredibly regional.
Yeah, it's so weird. And it's like summer style Pikachu popped up. He's wearing his hat. He's got his aviators on, and like people are just like, what is even going on here? And like Pokemon Go didn't really like explain anything about it. Like, just, you know,
surprise.
Yeah, they literally sent out an email to like some people, like, yeah, go and get your summer style Pikachus. It'll be here for a month. And like people are like, why? It's not summer.
What is happening? We don't know.
Yeah. Oh, so and they sent out the email like hours after like the event went live. So like people were like, why is Pikachu running around with a hat all of a sudden? There's this great. And then like everyone's like trying to figure out like, I'm not seeing the hat Pikachu. Why are you getting a hat Pikachu? And then eventually it's like, you know, it was like it did kind of like take me back to like the early days of Pokemon Go when like people were like trying to figure out like where are the regional Pokemon? Why is this unannounced regional event happening? It was the same sort of thing. It was great.
Love it. All right. Well, so that's happening. If you happen to live in that section of the world and listen to this podcast, congratulations.
Yes.
There you go.
Lucky you.
So that's about it for the, you know, Pokemon Go stuff, because we already talked about Snivy Community Day.
Yep. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll get through the rest of the news and then do the rest of the show. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
So naturally, I'm going to come back because someone in the chat mentioned this, and now it's going to obviously continue our how do you pronounce this Pokemon name bit on the show.
Snivy.
I've been saying Snivy, I guess, and then someone in the chat watching on Facebook, TJ Pruitt, goes, WTF is a Snivy. It's Snivy. Like,
yeah,
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. it's you know.
At this point, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. As long as we understand generally what we're referring to, like, I'm not going to be that kind of, you know, Pokemon pronunciation classes person. Like, you say it like how you're going to say it. I will respect your decision.
That's true.
I will keep that bottled within me of how to say it.
Yeah, no, Snivy is, you know, I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced in the anime. Mm-hmm. I personally have blocked out all memories of the black white era. Yes. And I do mispronounce Pokemon a lot. You know,
I do too. So it's not even a thing. Look, I do, like, it's a thing. It's a thing we all do because it's one of the, look, here's the thing. Okay. You say these names in your head. Until you actually say them out loud, you have no idea whether or not, like, you are, you know, pronouncing it the right way or whatever the right way is, right? And so there's you know, a ton of times where just, like, I'm trying to think of, like, just, like, another Pokemon that, you know, what is a name that, like, does not necessarily, now I'm going to throw one out. I don't know. I can't think of one, but, like, you know, just like a random Pokemon that, you know, no one really talks about, probably hasn't, you know, never gets mentioned, and, you know, saying it for the first time out loud and you get it, whatever. It's fine.
I mean, yeah. You know, if, you know, real talk here, like, I'm half deaf. I have to, you know, I watch everything with closed captions. I can't hear my television most of the time. I have no idea how most of these are pronounced unless I, you know, they were pronounced when I was 11 years old and I watched the anime. Anything from, like, 2006 on, I have to listen with closed captions. That's the reality of the situation. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I cannot understand what the TV says. So, yeah, I don't know how most of the Pokemon are pronounced because I have no way of hearing them. So
is it Zebstrika or Zebstrika?
I've always done it Zebstrika because, you know,
because he strikes.
Yes, he strikes. But yeah, like, and here's the thing. They also, you know, I have actually sent this to the Pokemon Company as a friendly suggestion. Pronunciation guides.
Yeah, they could just put them in the Pokemon.
I don't understand why. I mean, just give it to me. Just give me a pronunciation guide. It would be so helpful, just, like, even if it's just, like, a little thing in the Pokedex, not, like, at the bottom. Well, that's of it. The but Pokemon, yeah,
I don't
card.
Want a separate pronunciation guide because I'm never gonna read that. I want it in the game in the Pokedex.
Well, even on their website would be super super handy. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
There's a website that's a D&D database called D&D Beyond, and you know, all of the monsters all come with pronunciation guides where you push the button and it says the name on the thing. If they did that on the website, they would have a customer for life. Well, they already have a customer for life. let's be honest. But, you know, like, you know, truly, like, from an accessibility issue, you know, like, I don't mind. I can take the flack for it. But, you know, like, you know, real talk, the reason why I cannot pronounce Pokemon names is because they are made up words. And also, I am hard of hearing. Like,
That's it. Rankin's got a great idea. I'm going to start a YouTube channel that literally just goes through every Pokemon in the Dex and just pronouncing them.
Here's the problem. I use those pretty frequently, especially when I've done Pokemon videos for the website. You know, especially during the Detective Pikachu era. And the issue is you'll watch one and it'll tell you how to pronounce, you know, the Pokemon's name, and then you watch another and it's completely different. So who do you believe at that point? Like, I'm not sure how to, like, gauge which one's correct without, like, an official pronunciation guide. So half the time, if I have a Pokemon, you know, I try to, like, look up an anime clip because that's the most, like, official, like, you know, piece of media I can get where they're talking about it. So I'll just be, like, looking up, like, anime clip where, you know, XYZ shows up. I pray they say the Pokemon's name. If not, I'm just guessing. And yes, this is Willow, my cat, people are asking in the chat. She loves the camera.
I do want to share one thing that producer Richard shared in our Slack chat over the weekend that is just too perfect not to share. So Richard, why don't you throw it up? It's just a fun meme comparing Pokemon and Digimon. Look, that is just, if there was ever a perfect chart, that's exactly it. I mean,
yeah. If you're listening, it's basically a Pokemon evolves from a cat to, like, like a cougar is sort of like late, like young lion to a big lion. Digimon, you have a cute kitten that transforms into a velociraptor into a like double door fridge with a machine gun attached. So that is completely accurate. If you have never seen Digimon, none of it makes sense, and neither do the names, but like it's accurate.
I had a great talk with a bunch of I sent that meme to some of my friends who I played D&D with over the weekend, and we got into this long talk about Digimon, and I brought up the fact, I was like, you know, I did not like Digimon as a kid. I did not like the idea that you could push like a stopwatch twice and suddenly your like cute little dinosaur was, you know, suddenly like, you know, covered in metal and like, you know, trying to like murder things or whatever. But, you know, as an adult, I appreciate how that low key introduced a lot of very interesting concepts to children. And I refer to anything that involves like Angel and Devilmon, because those outfits are not safe for work. Let's say, put it that way. And it's like, you know, you look back at it, it's like, ah, yes, you know, it's going from a turnip with a head to a like BDSM angel.
That's it. Like, I don't understand how you get from Patamon to Angemon. Like, how does that happen?
None of it makes sense. I mean, it's not even worth like trying to piece together the equation at this point. I mean, for all of the years, I mean, when I was younger, I definitely preferred Pokemon, and now that I'm older, I still prefer Pokemon, but I do really love Digimon. It's definitely a huge series for me. The reboot anime is excellent if you've not seen it, but when I just watch it, none of it makes sense. Not a single bit of it makes sense. Not that I'm saying Pokemon does either in the anime, but there are just moments that I watch the Digimon anime and like my head is in my hand and I am just confused beyond all reason to me.
Yeah,
the mechanics of Digimon make a ton of sense, and I actually appreciate that. It seems a bit more straightforward, and I like the kind of, you know, sci-fi-ness that it brings to it. But like outside of that, it just
at least the characters in Digimon like grow older.
Yeah,
like they've not been kids for like the last like 30 years. Like Tai Chi is like a grown man with like tax portfolio or something. Like he's old. Like he's old.
He is the ambassador. He is the UN ambassador representing the Digimon world.
That is true.
I actually know this because when we were talking about it, like one of my friends is like, I actually like the Digimon anime because they had complete arcs. I'm like, they did have complete arcs, but I hate the fact that Sora and Matt ended up together. And they're like, no, I don't think that's actually the case. I'm like, it is. And then I was
it's definitely the case.
And it's like, Matt needs to be kicked in the head 100% of the time. Like, and Sora deserves so much better than him because he just sucks. All right.
Enough Digimon talk here. We got to get back to business. We have a bit of sad news to share. Ralph Schuckett, who was the original composer of the Pokemon anime, passed away earlier last week. So our, you know, condolences go out to him and his family, obviously. I mean, such a classic sound and mood to that. Megan, I don't know if you've got any more to add to that one.
Yeah, so I mean, Ralph Schuckett, I mean, he was, you know, in his younger days, he was actually in a band of his own, but he became a very well-known kind of a musician within the anime community. He did a lot of the original compositions and music, soundtrack, theme songs, the musical parts of it for kids dub. So like the original theme songs for Yu-Gi-Oh that you will remember. I mean, that was something that Schuckett kind of oversaw. Same thing for the first three Pokemon films in the English dub, as well as the original kind of Pokemon anime as you would have seen it in its earliest iteration on 4Kids. So he leaves definitely a great legacy behind him within the anime community that's super fond with nostalgia, because I know we've discussed previously in this podcast the legacy of 4Kids TV and its dub. But the one thing that licensor and company always did right was the music. 4Kids always had great music, and Schuckett did help oversee a lot of that. So we're definitely, thoughts are with his family and loved ones at this time, but he definitely leaves a great legacy.
For sure.
Well, he's, you know, he was the original keyboardist for Utopia, which is a pretty decently well-known band. It's like it's weird because, you know, when I saw that he, you know, passed away, I was like, oh, you know, because it popped up and it was like, oh, you know, because Utopia is a, you know, big, you know, it's a prog rock band and stuff like that. And then I was like, oh, wait, he also did Pokemon. Jeez. It's kind of like the Devo guys, you know.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about this, but like the Devo guys, you know, they composed all the music for Rugrats and stuff like that. Like all the Nick shows that you listened to in the 90s. That was Devo. That was Mark Mothersbaugh. It was weird. It is weird because he still does that. Like, you know, Devo shows up every once in a while, but, you know, mainly they make their money from doing like kids, you know, composing. You make a lot of money of that. If you are a 70 or 80s rock band person, you retire into the animation industry.
Nice. Christian, you had a pretty exciting weekend cleaning out your basement.
I went and it was kind of funny. So my son, my oldest son, got into Power Rangers over the weekend, and that's, God help us all about that, because it's the original, it was awful. So when I was a kid, I hated Power Rangers, but my uncle went and bought like the original Megazord for me, and I kept it, or at least I thought I kept it. I could only find the T-Rex, but when I was searching through my old stuff that I like rescued from my parents' house, I found my old Pokemon cards. And like, nice. You know, I didn't even think that those had survived, to be 100%.
Like base set cards, or
base set cards. I have a first edition Machamp.
I mean, everyone does if you bought the starter pack.
Yeah. but you know, like, most of the first edition stuff I had is like, I have a lot of first edition Team Rocket stuff. I was surprised, like, you know, what cards, like there were some cards I totally forgot I had. Like I have, you know,
was it in a binder?
No, it was not. But they were still in really good condition.
Was it in a shoebox?
Yeah, they were in shoebox along with a bunch of baseball cards. Actually, the baseball cards were funny because I found a very rare Barry Bonds rookie card that I'm probably going to go and send off to get graded because that is worth several thousand dollars, and it's still in a hard sleeve. So hypothetically, it's still in really good condition. It's like, I pulled it out. I was like, oh, I totally forgot I had this. Let's look this. Holy crap. but yeah, like, you know, I'll have to show them off. I'll post some pictures online because in addition to, the big ones that I had where I have all three of the legendary birds, I've got, you know, Mewtwo and Gengar and, I'm trying to think what else. A lot of my stuff comes from Fossil and Jungle. That's what I like invested in heavily. I never got a Charizard or a Venusaur or Blastoise, although one of those may be coming to my house here in the next few days. Just as a side note, you know, we talk a lot about how expensive Pokemon cards are and how Charizard sells for $300,000. If you do not care about getting a graded card, if you are looking for a good condition Pokemon card, like base set Pokemon card that's not graded, like that's near mint, so you know, probably in the eights or nines or something like that, you can usually get those for, you know, between like with the even the Charizards that I saw,
a couple hundred bucks,
not bad at all. I definitely think I'm going to fill out my base set collection and like finish that off, because I have, you know, I'm only missing like probably like 10 cards or so, and they're all just, you know, the holofoil ones. I think I'm going to go and do that. I found a Venusaur, which I'd probably, you know, rate as a 9. And it was like $90. I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. I've always wanted my Venusaur. I'm always mad that I could never like trade one. No one would ever pull the trigger on freaking Venusaur too. Like not even like a Charizard. I went and I was like, yeah, I'm buying myself a Venusaur. I did that on Sunday. Like, and so my son,
you sell that Bonds card and boom, there you go. You can buy all the cards.
Yeah. I explained it to my wife and she's like, that's the down payment on our van. I was like, well, I gotta get graded first. Like I gotta find, you know, I'll probably see if Beckett's is, you know, taking stuff out. Because that's probably the way to go is, you know, go through Beckett or maybe PSA. Or no, because PSAs, they shut. We just talked about that last week.
Right, yeah, they're on pause right now.
I actually have, you know, my baseball cards. Now the baseball cards are back in vogue. I'll probably go back through my baseball card collection because I have a lot of cards that are actually in pretty decent condition. That nice. You know, from like the 60s and 70s and stuff like that. So I can probably do that. Anyways, awesome. But yeah.
All right. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
I'll get through these next two things just really quick because I do want to get to talking about Pokemon Snap. Two viral videos are out there on the internet, so please go check them out. One is official as a Yamper music video, which is, you know, obviously we love our boy, our good boy Yamper. So go check that out. There's also another video that is the anime opening made with stock footage. And it is pretty surprising on how well it worked.
Oh yeah,
for the most part.
It's nuts.
I laughed. I like, you know, not a lot of these like viral videos make like, you know, give me a chuckle, but I got a good laugh out of this one. Yeah, this one was
pretty good. Mm-hmm. All right, new Pokemon Snap trailer. Or I guess, is it a trailer? It's just footage. Yeah,
so they Japan got a 6-minute video that's kind of like an overview video. I'm guessing we'll kind of see a version of it hit like the US this week. But it was interesting, let's put it that way.
I mean, we'll get to it, but yes.
So, you know, there is a bit of new footage. There's a couple of cool reveals, like Lugia will be making an appearance in the game, which we didn't know about. Not surprising. I'm personally pretty glad about that because there does seem to be a little bit of an emphasis on like the Gen 2 Pokemon. Like, you know, like it really does feel like new Pokemon Snap is kind of like giving us in a way, it's kind of like a retro flashback because not only is it Pokemon, Snap, you know, like a Pokemon Snap sequel, it kind of like picks up where the last one left off, where we're getting a lot of cool Gen 2 Pokemon. So a lot of cool. If you, you know, go through, take a look at it. You know, we got some new shots. You get to see what a better look at what the people look like for. Quite frankly, they kind of freak me out. They remind me a little bit too much of like Dragon Quest characters. like, you know, like the designs, their eyes are too wide apart. but, you know, the big thing that they pointed out is that they really want you to know that Pokemon eat each other.
Yeah. Confirmed. Like what?
Confirmed.
Like, it was a little upset. I mean, I get it, right? Like, we all assumed it happened, right? Circle of Life must happen in the world of Pokemon. But, like,
Magikarp. My thing is Magikarp just got the short end of the stick and everything. So I guess it really does confirm that Magikarp is at the bottom of the food chain, I guess.
The one that really struck me wasn't as much the Pidgeotto snatching it out of the, you know, like that one was like, we've seen that a couple of times. It was the Frillish, like grabbing it and dragging it down into the depths to eat it. I was like, holy freaking crap. Like, what the heck? And it was smiling. The Frillish was smiling as it was dragging Magikarp down in the depths to consume it.
You don't understand. Doesn't Magikarp have kind of like a hard-ish exterior?
I guess
I thought it was kind of like, I mean, obviously it has scales, but I thought the scales were not like fish scales where like, you know, even if you think of fish, it's like it's gooey and whatever. I thought it had a bit of a...
They're literally koi. They're koi. And, you know, while nobody thinks of koi as like, you know, food nowadays, you know, they were originally introduced to Japan as a food stock fish. Then people were like, oh, these look really cute. Let's put them in our ponds instead. And now it's not.
The problem is that objectively speaking, Magikarp is dumb. it's not like a beautiful Pokemon. So everyone's like, oh, let's just make it the butt of the like Magikarp is okay.
I think Magikarp is of like the fish Pokemon, Magikarp is one of the better looking Pokemon.
The better silence than that you, the silence.
It's better than, it's better than a Phoebus. Immediately and describe the ugly Pokemon, the deliberately ugly Pokemon. It's like, listen, guys, you know, like Magikarp looks better than Garbodor, like literally walking garbage, like, you know, yeah, case in point.
The silence that was met with that comment just shows.
It looks better than a Tynamo.
Like, okay.
And an Aracuda looks better than a ton of other fish Pokemon.
No, not really. I would disagree with Aracuda. Like,
his,
you know, if
his dumb, lifeless eyes just ruin everything.
What? You're gonna tell me it looks better? You're gonna tell me that Barboach looks better than a Magikarp?
Yes, I am, actually.
Yeah, man, that's an easy one. Like, that's
actually an easy yes.
Like, what are you just trying to find every
traditional
fish Pokemon? Like, fish Pokemon right now. This Pokemon doesn't look like a goldfish. It must be worse. This Pokemon doesn't look like a goldfish. It must be worse. Like, it's. I mean, here's actually, you know, here's the secret about Magikarp. So the reason why everyone eats Magikarp is to limit the population of Gyarados. Because Gyarados destroys cities. Like, this is not even like a hypothetical. Like, you know, in the Pokedex, multiple things talk about, like, Gyarados will go and like wreck a city just for like looking at it the wrong way. And so I personally believe, in response to that, nature has made Magikarp taste really freaking delicious in order to try to maintain the fragile balance of the Pokemon world. Because otherwise, if Magikarp tastes disgusting, we would probably be in a post-apocalyptic like landscape in terms of the Pokemon world. You know, we'd all be wearing tires and stuff like that. Or, you know, humanity would have never like actually been able to get past the Stone Age because Gyarados would have ruled the world. You know?
So how much do we want to bet we're going to see in this game a Sharpedo just absolutely like full on jumping out of the water and just eating? You know,
my favorite one, my favorite bit of footage from this new set of Pokemon Snap one is there's one where it's Bonsweet, and there's two Bonsweet, and they're stuck on a web, and Gyarados like comes and like starts walking forward, and the Bonsweet start to scream, and it's like, and you're just like, what the heck? And like Gyarados, like, you know, sprays them off with some sort of poison spray. But those Bonsweet, and if you read the, you know, the Bonsweet thing, you know, the Bonsweet, you know, are so yummy and tasty, you know, Pokemon try to eat them all the time, and they like run around and scream, but they look so adorable while they're hopping around, fleeing in terror. Nobody helps them. And it's like, what the freaking... And, like, you're literally watching that go on. There's two Bonsweet stuck on a spider web, and they're screaming as a spider Pokemon's coming to eat them. It's ridiculous.
I mean, we're 900 going to, like, see, like, a Spiel getting eaten by, like, a Sharpedo or something. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, like...
Oh, no.
This game, like I said, I'm really looking forward to new Pokemon Snap. I really hope there's, like, some, like, really creepy... Easter eggs in here.
Oh, maybe we'll like take like pictures of like hospitals. There's gonna be ghost Pokemon everywhere, just like waiting. Gengar, we enter Gengar's mouth to hell. See if there's spirits.
But that's it though. Like, I just hope that like the behavior that is you know, expressed in the Pokedex, like that behavior, I hope we see out in the wild.
There is a haunted forest in this game. That was one of the things they did kind of like establish was there will be a haunted forest because we saw a Trevenant in there, and it's like, I was just like, yeah, give me a haunted forest, give me some creepy Pokemon. Oh yeah, maybe Magikarp will die. We just got a comment. Maybe Magikarp will die, and Detective Pikachu will have to find which Pokemon did it. It's like. All of them? That's like a big, like, you know, Murder on the Orient Express type situation where they all killed him.
Yeah, I mean, this answers a lot of great questions. Like, if a Pokemon eats Magikarp in that community, like, is it considered murder? Is that considered food? This brings up a lot of questions that, like, I don't think I can tackle right now in the time we have remaining for this episode, but it's haunting.
Well,
it's haunting.
Megan, you would know, like Beastars is that's like the defining concept of one of the great manga and animes of the last like 5 years.
If you eat another animal that's considered sentient and human, then yes, it's a crime. But do they consider Magikarp sentient and human?
That's the question
I'm asking. I guess, and again, then that's messed up. This is a wormhole. Can of worms right here.
Oh man. I love this franchise.
All right, Christian, give us a Pokemon fact of the week.
So this one is like a dumb Poke fact of the week. So, you know, as we're kind of talking about the legendary birds, or, you know, as everyone's favorite legendary dog, Zapdos.
100% canine. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, very much like how you could mistake it for another type of creature. I have no idea. But according to the Galarian Pokedex, the reason why Zapdos gets its name is because its feathers make the sound of crackling electricity when they rub together as it's flying at, running at speeds of up to 180 miles per hour. And they're like, ah, yes, this is why it's called Zapdos. And you kind of just, you know, the joke is, it's like, No, it's called Zapdos because the non-Galarian version shoots electricity. They're like, no, it's because it makes the sound of lightning when it runs. Like, what is this lightning thing? Like, Zapdos doesn't have anything to do with electricity, and cracked me up. Like, I was like, this is the dumbest Pokedex entry I've ever seen, and it's clearly deliberate. But just like, oh my god, like, you know, of course the Brits are like, no, it's called Zapdos because of what? Zapdos doesn't have electrical powers. So that's your Pokefact of the week, is those crazy Galarians are just a bunch of goofs. Imperialist goofs. That's your Poke Fact of the week. Otherwise, Zapdos, like basically anything that comes later on in the Kanto Pokedex, is pretty boring.
Yeah, it really is. I'm looking at it right now. Like, it's legitimately has one of the most boring Pokedex entries for really anybody.
It controls lightning. It also, when it gets hit by thunderclouds. Yeah, when it gets hit by lightning, it gets powered up. Like, okay, yes, we've seen that in the anime with any, you know, electric Pokemon. The Galarian ones, they tried a little bit more. I got a good chuckle out of that one.
Shield Galarian Zapdos, one kick from its powerful legs will pulverize a dump truck.
I believe it.
Supposedly, this Pokemon runs through the mountains at over 180 miles an hour.
If you try to, you know, chase that thing through the wild area.
Yeah, you know.
We are very much aware how impossible it is to chase that thing.
Oh, no. I will say, going back to it, getting the Galarian birds was one of my favorite parts of that, of the Crown Tundra experience. I absolutely loved every bit of it. It was so much fun. I mean,
Articuno made me rage quit at one point. It was just so frustrating trying to keep track of which one was the real one. And then I'd be like, well, I don't know where you went, so I'm just going to stop playing for the night because I'm very upset.
My big issue with the Galarian Articuno was my experience was kind of like glitchy with it. Like, you know, where either the darn bird wouldn't show up or... I'd find the right one and then it wouldn't like trigger the like battle. Like, it was never an issue of like, you know, cause it's the one that spins. So it was never a matter of like figuring out which one to get. The problem was like my game just really did not want me to get that, which is a shame because, you know, Articuno is my favorite of those.
They really wanted to make sure you wanted it. Like, really, really wanted it.
Yeah, no. By the way, I have two Articuno cards in my old Pokemon cards, both a foil and a non-foil. I was like, that's great. I was very happy about that.
Okay, I want to take just a second to read some of the new... We are only four reviews or four ratings away from 200 ratings on iTunes.
Oh, so wow.
Yeah.
If you have not done that yet, we just need four of you. Get us over the hump to 200. But I did want to read some of the new reviews that came in. And I don't think I read this one. I couldn't have, right? Yeah, no, because 4-4. Okay, great. This one's from Argallo 14. Perfect podcast for Pokemon peeps. I've been meaning to write a review for my favorite podcast, and what better time than the upcoming 100th episode to write it? I've been a longtime fan of this podcast. I started listening to it when it was about a month old and listened religiously every week. Jim, Christian, and Megan are an incredible team and make me feel like I'm catching up with good friends every week. Not only has my overall love for Pokemon grown from this podcast, but I have even started playing the TCG after listening to all the fun and now somewhat depressing TCG news this podcast covers. The cherry on top is that Megan gives Vaporeon the love and respect it deserves. I'm slightly confused why Christian put Squirtle at the bottom of the Kanto starter barrel when Squirtle clearly is the best of the three. Hashtag Squirtle Squad for life. Though Bulbasaur is the man. I respect Geodude. I respect Jim's Geodude love, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't give away my life savings to see Machop chucking Geodude and Graveler off of mountains, because that just seems hilarious. Thank you guys for the entire thank you guys and the entire comicbook.com crew to make a wild podcast has appeared the best Pokemon podcast out there. Here's to 100 more excellent episodes and hopefully a US release of the Metapod sleeping bag, because I need confirmation that that actually exists. Happy 100 episodes.
That's it. That's the greatest review out there. We're done.
Yeah, another one from Lando Jedi 062, best Pokemon podcast. Okay, let's start off with this. I don't want a t-shirt. I'm 11 and I don't have any sort of social media. Okay, now that that's over, this podcast got me ready for Pokemon Sword, and I listened to every episode and just got a Switch yesterday. I learned about the Pokemon Sword and Shield. I chose Pokemon Sword, and when I was around 5, my dad bought me a pack of cards and I got addicted. I bought thousands of packs, and my dad sold a whole 250 page binder for free. To this day, I'm still mad because I love those cards. And this year I just bought 4 packs and none of them were rare anyway. Anyway, the Pokemon facts of the week are amazing and sometimes really funny. This is just an amazing podcast. And I highly recommend it to anyone who likes Pokemon, who doesn't know much about Pokemon. The hosts are amazing. Jim, I love Geodude, but he's not my favorite. My personal favorite is Charmander. To me, he's just the cutest. I love fire types. Anyway, love the podcast. I'll be listening to 101 when it comes out. Stay safe. Peace. Thanks, Jedi Lando.
Yeah.
Let's see. Beatrice Mech, one of the must-listen-to Pokecasts. I look forward to this podcast every week with its fun team and structure. I've been listening to the first episode since the first episode was released on Comic Book Nation's podcast. The 100-episode cast deserved the temporary download of iTunes to give this much-deserved review. Bulbasaur is definitely my Kanto Stardo. Vaporeon is solid, but Geodude has sadly fallen since its depiction in the anime is floating and not Pokedex accurate. I can only picture the only picture is a rock version of the first demon Tanjiro beheaded in Demon Slayer running around. A fastball special with Machop and Geodude would be incredible, though. RK9 and Growlithe are the best boys and favorite overall.
Oh my gosh. If you don't understand why we just laughed so hard, you need to check out the anime Demon Slayer. that's why if you want to get it on that joke, watch it right now. And then come back and listen. That was perfect.
This is a very, very short one. The last one from Quagco, best Pokemon podcast ever. Every week I look forward to another episode. My favorite Pokemon are Vaporeon, Sylveon, and Lucario. I love your show so much. I love all of you for taking the time to leave those reviews. They really do make our day, for sure.
Make us,
it's like between the reviews and everyone participating in the Twitch chat makes us feel like we are not shouting into a void, basically, which is a nice feeling. All right. Otherwise, you can find the Pokemon podcast at Pokemon Pod CB on Twitter. I'm at Jim Viscardi.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I'm at Seehofer CBUS.
So until next week, folks, we hope may the shiny luck be ever in your favor. Go have fun. Catch you next week.